What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. As always, on the Locked On Podcast Network, I am your host, Positive Chuck Mockler. William the Opinion Updike, still out of town, still in Europe doing some scouting for the Clippers. He'll be back next week to start giving you guys 5 episodes per week. We're very excited about that. Oh, man, this Monday got a decent amount of stuff to talk about. A lot of stuff happened just today before I started doing this pod. We're going to wrap up the Suns situation, some bad news out of the Spurs camp, what that means for the Clippers as a whole. Then we're going to go into a recap of the Clippers versus Lakers game. And then, of course, every Monday we're going to have the freshies outlining which rookie we want to see have more playing time. That is coming up right now. So this morning, some pretty big news happened. The Suns, of course, famous for firing a head coach, I believe, 5 days into the regular season, have now fired their GM 9 days before their first game. So that is how the Suns do things, apparently. I think most of the NBA was kind of shocked. I was kind of shocked. I don't follow the Suns that closely, if I'm being 100% honest. But it didn't seem like things were going all that bad with their GM, considering he let them, you know, draft and do free agency and help build a team that involves two of maybe the best young offensive pieces in the league in Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton. Just kind of a mind-blowing firing. That's all I can really say about it. It seems to be one of the large reasons that he got let go was because he couldn't find a starting point guard. Something that I guess I can kind of see as a knock against their GM, because at one point they had 3 starting caliber point guards. They had 3 pretty good guys who were all pretty unhappy on the team. The Suns owner, Robert Sarver, is heavily involved in day-to-day operations, which I think is something that all Clippers fans can kind of rejoice that we have Steve Ballmer as an owner. He's a guy who, granted, absolutely loves basketball, is very passionate about the team, but knows when to just shut up and let the GM does his job, which is, in my opinion, always, if you're the owner, always let the person you hire to run the team run the actual team. Kevin McHale is somehow the front runner for this job. I have no idea why. I don't know why some owners refuse to change with the times. Kevin McHale being the GM of the Suns, I guess, seems good for DeAndre Ayton. I don't know. I don't know who that would be good for other than everyone but the Suns. It just sucks. It'd be nice to see, people have been joking, but it'd be nice to see Sam Hinkie get hired by this team. I can't believe the Suns have done this. I'm not sure if they've officially beat out Minnesota as the random most dysfunctional front office in the league before the season starts, but they seem close. There was a quote, I think, from, I think it was the Suns they were talking about, or with the Heat, excuse me, talking about trying to trade with the Timberwolves for Jimmy Butler, and he was asked, what do the Timberwolves want? And he said, all of our firstborn sons. I mean, the Suns, the Phoenix Suns at this point, seem like a more dysfunctional situation than the Wolves, because the Wolves at least have a GM. Yes, that GM is their terrible head coach, Tom Thibodeau, but at least they have one. It's going to be really interesting to see where the Suns go from here. I can't believe they're doing this with such, I mean, they had the number one pick, and then you fire your GM. That can't instill confidence in the number one pick to maybe want to stay with your team when things come to a contract talks. And it also can't be that reassuring for Devin Booker. I guess this really means they're all in on Devin Booker. But I don't know. I would feel very uneasy if I was either of those guys not having a GM. They have a new head coach. They have no GM. This season could be even worse for the Suns than some people were predicting. Offensively, it'll be really fun to watch. But maybe that's probably going to be some individual performances and not so much team-wise. Just because building a team with a brand new GM is never easy and takes years to do. So the timing of this is very suspect. I'm sure as I'm doing this pod, some more info is being released. But I guess let's all keep an eye on that situation. Godspeed to the Phoenix Suns. Some depressing news, some more depressing news from a Western Conference team. This one, I guess, more because it didn't seem diverse. The Spurs guard, DeJounte Murray, has suffered a torn ACL in his right knee. The whole NBA is bummed out about this. He was one of the most exciting players last year, a guy who everyone wanted to see make the jump. Very good player. He and Lonnie Walker has a torn meniscus. This is brutal luck for the Spurs. This just, It sucks. I mean, Lonnie Walker, I thought it was a great pick by them with their organization. There was so much in the press over the weekend about him forming a relationship with Tim Duncan and all this stuff. It just hurts. DeJounte Murray was poised to kind of, you know, take that leading charge for their backcourt. This isn't good to see. Kevin O'Connor had an interesting take. His Western playoff locks, according to him, were the Warriors, Rockets, Lakers, Jazz, and Thunder. A couple of those you might argue with, but for the most part, I think he's right. And in his mind, this the DeJounte Murray injury put San Antonio on the bubble with eight teams fighting for three spots. Those eight teams: Spurs, Nuggets, Blazers, Pelicans, Wolves, Grizzlies, Mavs, and of course the Clippers. The bottom three seeds are going to be it's going to be a bloodbath this year. I think the win percentage, you know, the amount of wins you need, gets lowered. Still in that 45 range, which we weren't at last year. We did go 42-40, but this is going to be a bloodbath with how all of these teams want to make the playoffs. And, you know, maybe the Suns are going to get some GM that really revitalizes how that organization plays. It's even more of a toss-up than it already was. Every single team was really going for the playoffs in the West, it seemed like. And now this just adds to another team that's kind of on that lower rung of maybe expectation and ability that's been, you know, deteriorated from injuries. That's just going to have to get in there and scrap with people. Shane Young made a good point that San Antonio, Portland, and Minnesota are all worse than last year. So, I mean, in our opinion, most people listening to this podcast would agree that the Clippers have gotten better since last year. So, it's just going to be a slugfest. This season, this makes those first 10 to 14 games for the Clippers all the more important. I don't think I need to remind people of how brutal our opening schedule is, but it is not fun. There's going to be so much competitive this year. Start to finish, the Western Conference is going to be really fun to watch. People are just going to be grinding it out. Let's hope, for basketball's sake, the Spurs don't suffer any more injuries. I think they're one season away from setting the record for the most postseason appearances. That is absolutely in jeopardy. They do have DeMar and LaMarcus, which is great. Outside of that, kind of a thin roster. Popovich is going to have to really coach his ass off this year, for lack of a better term. It's going to be shades of Doc Rivers last year, I think. Popovich will have, I think, a bit of a longer leash because he is, of course, Greg Popovich. But we're going to see some interesting lineups. Who knows? The Spurs might beat or match our record for the most different starting lineups put out for an entire season. I'm just excited. And that all happened today. So I'm not going to do too much of a weekend wrap up. Coming up, I'm going to just kind of recap what happened with the Lakers versus the Clippers. And after that, we will get into the Freshies, our weekly rookie report. So this weekend, Clippers and the Lakers played each other. They squared off in beautiful Anaheim, California. I can't reiterate enough how infuriated and confused I am that the NBA held a game between two Los Angeles teams in Anaheim. Doesn't make any sense. Anyway, the Clippers won 103-87, another blowout victory for the preseason powerhouse that is the Los Angeles Clippers. A lot of stuff to take away from this game. I'm going to be talking about all about the Clippers. So if you're listening and you want me to talk about the Lakers more, sorry, I don't really care. The thing that jumped out at me, I watched part of the game. I had some family in town, so it was hard to justify needing a couple hours to watch a preseason basketball game. Side note, I had an uncle listen to this podcast, and he told me that I talked about the Clippers too much. Just something I found funny. Take with that what you will. Anyway, the biggest jump out from this is that Ty Wallace continued to kind of put a stranglehold on his roster spot. At this point, it's going to be really hard for me to see him not being on this team. He plays sound basketball. He's making the right decisions. He's not being too loose. He doesn't look like the game is playing ahead of him. Ty Wallace is ready to be on this team. He's not a primary ball handler, which I think is okay. We can put him out there with, you know, maybe PBev or Shea every now and then. But he's a guy who is ready to be on this team and contribute meaningful minutes. I'm super excited to see how he develops even more during this season. He seems energized from the contract. The Clippers obviously believe in him, but he has been one of the biggest, I don't know about if surprises is the right word for this, but he has been one of the biggest revelations in this preseason, is his level of play and his hunger to get better. Sweet Lou and Trez played together, and they stretched the lead at 1.2 double digits. Trez really seems like he can play with anybody, but him and Lou Williams is pretty deadly on that pick and roll. Lou can shoot the lights out from anywhere, which is great. And Trez, you know, he gets a lot of credit for his energy and kind of being everywhere on the court and having a high motor, but I don't think enough gets talked about his intelligence. You know, players who can play the pick and roll with pretty much anyone are inherently smart players. They know what adjustments to make with the people that they're running this game with. He can run it with Gallo. He could run it with Ty Wallace, as we saw against the Wolves. He can run it with anybody. His intelligence is, his pick and roll intelligence, I should say, is truly astonishing and something that I think is going to be invaluable for him getting more minutes. Still kind of unclear on where he settles, you know, starting wise. I don't think he's going to start those first, you know, I think it's going to be a situational thing. I don't think he's really going to be the clear-cut number one, number five, if you will. But he definitely, you know, he has his place in the lineup, in the starting lineup, depending on who's playing. It can be most anyone, though. His him and Gallo were looking fantastic in that game against the Wolves. But that was just confident to see. It's going to be great to see Lou and Trez. Lou's kind of been getting rested a little bit that this preseason, which I'm totally fine with. Keep those legs fresh coming off the bench. Boban had another big game. Great moment in the game was Patrick Beverley. Anytime Boban would score, he would hold his arms if he was rocking a baby and then yell, "Your babies," I believe, at the Lakers bench. Because, I mean, he's right. Everyone, not just the Lakers, are children compared to Boban Marjanovic. I think this year, if we have, you know, a healthy squad where we're a little shallow at the center position, if we can keep healthy, knock on wood, Boban is actually going to be able to contribute a lot more this year, I think, just because we can spell him for those 10-minute stretches and just confuse and tire out the opposing team. I'm not even sure how you draw up a game plan around 10 minutes of Boban. I think it was Tobias who said, you just throw it where no one else can get it, and Boban will get that ball. You know, he had flashes last year. That game against the Nuggets, he absolutely dominated. But this year, if he can put it, you know, he has a lot of skill for his size. I think we all kind of know that. But if he can, you know, get those 10 minutes a game where he comes in and puts up, who knows, 8 points, his efficiency is unbelievable. He's pretty much going to make any shot he takes if he gets the ball down low. So that's something I think Doc is okay with. It'll be interesting to see who they play at the four with him. In my lunatic brain, I would love to see Trez and Boban out at the same time, but I don't think that'll happen. But he looks great in the preseason. He looks a little more limber, a little more spry. Hopefully we'll see him come out and contribute, like I said, that 10 to 12 minutes of the game to just really wear down the other team. This is going to be, for sure, situational-based, as all of Boban's minutes are. But if we're playing against a team who has an undersized center, I want to see Boban down there feasting. I think everyone listening would agree with me. Tobias played an okay game against the Lakers. He went 6 for 17, 1 of 6 from three, which is a little disappointing. However, that 1 3-point shot, perfect swish, so that's nice to see. When he looks uncomfortable, he gets a little more timid. He didn't drive to the lane as much as, you know, we really wanted to see him to. If his shot isn't falling, if you're me, I think you want to see him just try and get into the rhythm, get into the rim, go into the line. He did that pretty well in the first two games. Something about this game seemed a little off. I'm not really sure. But, you know, 6 of 17, not good. Still not truly awful. He was playing well defensively. But again, we want to see him try and get more aggressive, get to the line when he's not, when those jumpers aren't falling. He settled for a couple of bad jumpers. But, you know, that's going to happen. Shea had another great game. I'm going to talk about him more in the third segment, but it's making it really hard to argue against him starting, especially with the play of Avery Bradley, which was terrible. But Shea just looks comfortable. He looks like he's ready to take this team. He looks like he's ready for this moment. We all want Shea. I'm going to get into more of that later in the third segment. Let's kind of look at some of the bad that happened in this game. First off, Sendarius Thornwell and Avery Bradley combined to go 2 of 10, which is not good. Especially Sindarius, this preseason has not been great for him. He's a pod favorite here. We love the Thorn God. He really shined last year. I want to see him step it up, or he's just not going to get minutes. Avery Bradley, I don't know what's going on with him. Defensively, these guys were pretty good. You know, I think they're always going to be fairly solid, but 2 of 10 is inexcusable from guys who are going to make their living being bench guys. You know, Bradley might start at this point. I don't know if I want him to. He doesn't look like he fits the offense too well, and his defense is fine. You know, it's still above average, but it's not that lockdown D that you really expect or want to see next to Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley will help his defense look better, which I'm fine with, you know. But we want to see it kicked up a notch. They play against the Nuggets this week, so hopefully they'll get better. But anyway, Gortat on defense against JaVale McGee looked a little slow. He looked a little sluggish, which is going to happen against younger centers who are just quicker. His footwork is really good, but it's not necessarily fast. You know, it's fundamentally sound. I think this year he's going to get exposed quite a bit, and a lot of pressure is going to be put on, hopefully not on Gallo, to help out against those fives. We saw Tobias guarding Karl-Anthony Towns in that Wolves game, which produced mixed results, but that, again, that is Karl-Anthony Towns, so he's very hard to D up against. Gortat was feasting on the offensive boards, though. He was very active down low, played great with Shea in that pick and roll. But defensively, you know, I think he's 34, so that will probably get exposed at some point this game. Biggest disappointment for this game, really heartbreaking for my end, Jerome Robinson. He went 1 for 5. He's not ready. I don't think he's ready for third string minutes yet. I think he needs to be down in the G League. I put this out on Twitter, and a couple people seem to agree with me. He's got to go to the G League. I don't know if he's needs to catch up to the game or he needs to slow down to the game. He doesn't look comfortable out there. 1 of 5 is not, I mean, it just hurts to read. I'm physically pained reading that. My notes say legit bumming me out. So, I mean, we want him to figure it out. Thank God we had two lottery picks, or this would really, I think, be a classic Clippers situation. You know, we draft a guy who no one really knew about or think would go anywhere near in the first round, and here we are with a fairly large project. Thankfully, Shea is not a project, but Jerome, we love you. We want you to get better. Just keep trying, bud, but keep trying maybe in the G League. Mike Scott went 1 for 4 for the game, 0 of 3 from 3. He did have 7 rebounds. He needs to step it up. He's had a horrendous preseason. And when shooters aren't shooting well, that's disconcerting. No one wants to see any of that. That's very troubling. The only starter who got to the line in this game was Tobias, which, you know, and I had just said he wasn't being aggressive. He really wasn't being aggressive, but that shows how also not aggressive the rest of the team was getting. They have to get to the line. They have to get these free throws. If we're going to grind it out with teams, we need to grind it out with teams. We need to be physical, everyone except for Gallinari. We need to get there. We need to bang bodies around. It's got to happen. A glaring thing for me, despite the win and despite the fairly high point total, 103.87, not too high, only 16 team assists. In that game against the Wolves, we all saw what happens when they get, you know, over 20 team assists or something like that. It works well. Ball movement needs to improve in these situations. We got the win, but it's preseason. It doesn't matter. This number will not translate to success in the regular season. Against good defensive teams, against that first brutal stretch, we need to have more than 16 team assists. I was kind of astonished to see it was that few. Lou Williams had 19. I'm going to end this recap on a bright spot. Lou Williams had 19. Always good to see. Still, though, a lot of things to work on, mostly from our role players. There's still no roster clarity. Juwan Evans got more garbage time. It seems like he's really gone. Are he going to be gone? Wes Johnson, you know, had Wes Johnson face the whole time. Milos didn't play. This has to get figured out soon. There's not that many days left until our opener. Thankfully, we still have a GM, but we still also have too many players. One of the things that might be bumming Jerome out, and I'm just now spewing this out of my mouth, he doesn't have a locker yet. I can't imagine it feels good to be a lottery pick, and there's so many people on the roster that for some reason, you still don't have a locker. So let's maybe get that for Jerome. Right after this, Our third segment, I'm going to be just kind of saying what rookies I think deserve more playing time. But first, guys, Clipper season is coming up. It's just around the corner. We got a game around the Nuggets this weekend. And if you need tickets, Vivid Seats is your place to go. Vivid Seats is running a promo currently where if you're a new customer, use promo code LOCKEDON in all capital letters to get $20 off your first order of $200 or more. We're talking courtside seats. We're talking seats to a musical. Search by venue. Search by event. It doesn't matter. On Vivid Seats, everything is backed by a customer by a satisfaction guarantee as well as a legitimacy guarantee. Check out Vivid Seats. Use promo code LOCKEDON in all capital letters to get $20 off your first order of $200 or more. So, this week's segment for the freshies, I know I talked about Jerome last Monday, really backfired on me. He did get more playing time, but it kind of just bummed me out and probably everyone else. My freshie this week is, it's just two words, it's start Che. Start him, start him, start him. I'm not being too crazy here. The kid is good, and he's the kind of good that needs to be playing with the starters. You know, he's the kind of guy where mentally he is there. I mentioned it in the last pod, maybe he's just a little too quick with his passes, his timing is getting a little still tinkered, but that's going to come by playing with better lineups. Jerome is not good right now, and we shouldn't be giving him more minutes, I was very wrong about that. Needs the G League for maybe half a season, but Che is here to play. It would be a travesty if he wasn't in at least the second unit. Che, there was an article about him in The Ringer today, kind of weirdly condescending, but I'm not going to talk about that. He's got to start. The kid is ready. He's smart. He made great passes. He's seems to be learning every single game. He does got to bulk up. He got absolutely denied by Brandon Ingram in that last game, but I think that's also a product of Brandon Ingram coming into his own so far. But there's just no reason. You know, Doc is a, you know, you play what you earn type guy. Shea's ability, I think, has proved that he's earned this. He earns to be our second point guard, if not our first, depending on what rotations the other team is rolling out. He's been a revelation. I cannot wait to watch him play this year. I really want to see him shine against early in the season against those tougher opponents just to see how much the organization really trusts him. I could go on and on and on about Che. I'm not saying anything most Clippers fans don't agree with. Actually, I'm going to put this out there. If you don't think Che should get playing time, please hit me up on Twitter. Let's just talk about it. I'm here to have a friendly conversation. You know, political discourse is necessary. But I would bet that no one is against Che being at least the number two guy. He's been developing great in this preseason. I can't wait to watch him this week. That's pretty much it for me, you guys. I will have a game preview for the game tomorrow night against the Nuggets. Going to try and start pumping these episodes out Monday through Friday to get ready for the regular season. William Updike will be back next week to help us out when we start. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler. This has been the Locked On Clippers podcast. As always on the Locked On Podcast Network, have a great rest of your Monday, guys.